This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are on a series, and it's called The Power of Words. Amen? And I'm telling you, has anybody been getting a handle on what they've been saying lately? You're getting a handle on what you're saying? And we got to get a handle on what we're saying, because faith and your words are connected. I'm going to say that again. Our faith and our words are connected. And so our words play a major role in our lives and will dictate the outcome of our futures. Do you believe that today? That's a powerful statement this morning. Our words can dictate the outcome of our future. Amen. And so James is talking in James 3:2 that as people of God, we can make mistakes. Has anybody ever made a mistake in here? Oh, I'm looking at all perfect people this morning, and you're never making a mistake. We can miss it every once in a while, right? Missing the mark, not hitting the mark like we need to. And James says that if you learn how to control your words, you will not make too many mistakes, because it's our words that gets us in trouble. Remember what somebody said? Loose lips sink ships. So it's our words that can get us in trouble. So in this passage, it says here, for we all stumble in many things. This is James 3:2. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So James is saying this passage that if we get an understanding of our words, we can actually speak to our bodies, and our bodies have to come in line with the words that we speak. And you're saying, Pastor, that sounds a little out there. You mean you're saying that my body will respond to my words? Yes, your body can respond to your words. If Jesus spoke to storms and trees and he spoke to dead people, amen, caused them to be raised, caused the storms to be calm, amen, caused the walked on the water. If he was able to speak to things, you can speak to your body. Do you believe that today? So we need to be speaking what we're believing God to do in our lives. Amen. And we need to be confessing the word of God over our bodies. Amen? And, you know, I know some of us are getting older in here. How many people are getting older in here? We're like fine wine. We just get better. Amen? But we are growing older. Amen? But you know what? The Bible says as we grow older, our spirits are renewed every day. So your spirits don't grow older, glory to God. Your bodies may grow older, but you're still young. Amen? Somebody say forever young. And so we're forever young. But I like this, because if you're feeling tired and worn out, you need to start confessing some word of God. Because I'm telling you, the world will make you feel tired and worn out. And I love this in Romans 8:11. It says this, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. That's powerful. That's powerful. So for some of us older people in here, we need to start speaking that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and makes alive our mortal bodies. In other words, if there's areas in your body that's not working, the Spirit of God can make it alive. That's good news this morning. That's good news. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and dwells in you. Somebody say, I believe that. So you have resurrection power residing on the inside of you. But you got to believe it. See, to activate God's power, you must believe that his power is working. Somebody say, I'm activating God's power in my life. And so to activate it, you have to get in agreement with God. So I love that, that same spirit. And so it took God's spirit to raise Christ from the dead. And it might take God's spirit to raise you up, amen, every morning that you get up. Glory to God. And so look at this. And I love this because it says in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So this scripture is saying that, you know, that we need to be strong in the Lord so we can call ourselves strong in Jesus. So if you're feeling weak, don't say that you're feeling weak. Say, "I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And when you do that, what are you doing? Well, what you're doing is you're confessing God's word over your bodies. You're confessing God's word over your circumstances. You're getting in agreement with God's word. And when you get in agreement with God, dunamis power comes about.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to agree with God. You definitely don't want to disagree with God. Amen. You want to get on God's side. So I want to be on God's side. So when we get on God's side, then we move forward in him. So our words can bring us into our destiny, and our destiny is always good in God. Amen. And then it says here in James 3:3-4, that our words are like bits in a horse's mouth, or like a rudder to a ship, or like a steering wheel in your car. And it will bring us into the destination that we're speaking today. Is that where we're going tomorrow? And so how many people want to go into higher ground tomorrow? How many people want to have maybe a little bit more higher life tomorrow? Amen. I do. I want my tomorrow to be good. And so if I want my tomorrow to be good, I need to be speaking good today.
Amen.
See, if I'm speaking negative today, what do you think I'm going to get tomorrow? If I'm speaking decrease and look how bad it is, and if I'm focusing on my weaknesses, then what am I going to get? I'm going to get those things. But I'm not going to focus on my weaknesses. Amen. I'm going to focus on my strengths. They say that if you just, they say successful people aren't the ones that are trying to get their weaknesses strong. They just focus on their strengths. And if you just focus on your strengths, that will cause you to be successful. In other words, I might not be the best organizer in the world. Amen. And my wife is like, "That's right. You're not the best organizer." Amen. I'm not going to focus on organization. I'll pay somebody to organize me. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? But I might be a good speaker. Well, I got an amen over here. Amen. And so maybe my speaking ability can take me places. So if I keep working on my speaking ability instead of me working on being organized, I can get somebody to organize me.
Amen.
My wife. Amen. And so what I'm saying to you is you got to focus. Don't focus on your weaknesses, trying to make your weakness strong. Focus on your strength. God has graced you with strengths. And so you edify and build your strength. Don't focus on what you're weak at. Focus on what you're strong at. Amen. And that's what makes you successful in this life. It's not trying to get that weak thing better. Amen. It's enhancing what's already strong in your life. That's free today. I'm not going to charge you for that bit of advice. Amen. So our destiny is determined by our words that we speak. And we need to be speaking faith-filled words. Amen. I'm going to say this. In this life, you're going to be encountering some trials at times. In this life, you're going to be encountering some hard days. Anybody ever had a hard day in here? Well, good. I think I'm talking. And especially when you get Jesus in your life. See, before you got Jesus in life, you didn't realize you had hard days because the devil really wasn't after you. You didn't really have anything coming against you per se. But when you get Jesus in your life, you got three things working against you. And you say, why did I get Jesus in my life? Well, Jesus is going to help you with the three things that work against you. What are the three things that work against us? One of the things that works against us is the devil. So when you get Jesus in your life, you didn't realize you had a problem in an area until you get Jesus in your life. Then the devil starts trying to tempt you in that problem. Have you ever been there? The devil will try to press you and get you to go into that problem in a greater way, right? So we have the devil to contend with. We have the world and the philosophy of the world to contend with. And the world doesn't want Jesus in it. The world says all ways lead to heaven, but my Bible says only Jesus leads to heaven. See, the world will try to say, oh, no, there's many ways to God. No, there's only one way to God, and that's Jesus. So you got the world system that's set in place to try to wreck our faith. So you got the devil in the world. And then you got to contend with, can I get out of my seat this morning? Then you got to contend with your flesh. Can somebody say flesh? So you got to say in a way, flesh, because flesh is that unrenewed part of you that wants to go against God. What, Pastor? It's that part of you it's a rebellious part of you. It's that unrenewed part of you that says, I want to do it my way. Amen? That's flesh. Flesh says, I want to do it my way. But the spirit, see, the spirit's willing, Jesus said, but the flesh is weak. So the spirit, see, when you're hooked up with God and you are hooked up in this, your spirit wants to obey and do the right things, but your flesh sometimes goes the wrong way. I'm talking to the right crowd today. And so listen, so you got to get your flesh under control, and you start by getting your tongue under control. You get this under control, your body will be under control. Am I talking to anybody today? And then you get your tongue under control, then your life will be more in control. Amen? And so we always are encountering tests and trials, and a test and a trial isn't a bad thing. Oh, Pastor, I didn't come to hear this. A test and a trial is not a bad thing if we respond to it correctly. See, you got to respond to the test and the trial in a correct manner. In other words, when that test and trial comes, you don't complain. Because if you complain about it, you'll remain in it. So when the test and trial comes, you got to praise yourself out of it. You got to praise to be raised, complain, and you'll remain. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so many of us, what we do is what keeps us stuck in our problems is because we keep talking about our problems. And then that's what we do in prayer sometimes. What do we do in prayer? You rehearse your problem to God every day. This is my problem, God. And you're rehearsing that every day, but you're not telling God and reminding God about his promises. Yes, you got a problem, but the Bible says bring God's word to his remembrance. Well, God remembers his word, but we bring it to him, so he makes it good. We remind God, but he doesn't really need reminded. We need reminded. So we bring God's word, and we say, Lord, look at these bills, but you said that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You said if I give, it will be given back to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You said that you will supply every need. Amen. That David never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. You need to start talking like that when you're praying in your prayer closet. And then you need to agree and start thanking God that he's bringing you out of deficit into prosperity. Amen. Glory to God. Say, I'm coming out of poverty into prosperity. Just enough to more than enough. Amen. And so I love this. And so we can be excited even though we may be in a trial, even though we may be in a tribulation, we can get excited. Why? Because God's word says he's going to bring us out of our trials. In Psalms 34:19, it says many of the afflictions of the righteous. I wish it didn't say many. I don't like that. I don't want to have many afflictions. But it says many afflictions that the righteous might have. In other words, We're not exempt because we're Christians from problems that come to us in this world system. We still have problems as Christians. But the good thing is we have God. Amen. And because we have God, God can bring us out of our problems. As long as we trust in the Lord and do good and focus on His faithfulness, He will bless us. So it says in Psalms 34:19, this is a promise. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, I love that, delivers him out of them all. So God delivers us. We have a promise. You might be in a trial. You might be in a tribulation. You might be dealing with things you don't like, but God will deliver you out of all your troubles. Do you believe that today? I believe that today. I've been in some troubles. I've been in some trials. And God has delivered me out of some trials in my life, out of some troubles in my life. I've been there. Has anybody been there?
Yes.
Has anybody seen the faithfulness of God?
Yes.
Has anybody seen the faithfulness of God in this room? Amen. God is faithful. Do you believe that today? I mean, I'm looking at how God has done amazing things in people's lives in this church. And now some of us have been through some trials. We've been through the fire. We've been in the low road. And some of us are on the high road now. Is that right? We've been there. We've lost everything. Anybody ever lose everything? and then God got it back to you. Amen? Amen. What, you can lose some things, but the things that we lose are just temporary. But the things that we gain are eternal. So don't put your focus and trust in the things that you have. Put your focus and trust in the God that's in you. Amen. So this scripture is saying that many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Amen. We need to be focused in our words, and we need to be focused on speaking increase and not decrease. Blessing and not curse. I like what it says in Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips he shall be filled. I love that. So we can be satisfied with the words that we speak, and we can live fulfilled lives. Glory to God. Now it's a choice. You have a choice every day in what you speak. And I'm going to... And if it's up to me and my house, I'm going to speak life. So you have a choice in this life to speak blessing or curse, life or death. You have that choice. And I'm going to encourage you to speak life. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you're going to eat the fruit of your words. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to eat good fruit and not bad fruit. Anybody ever had any rotten fruit in here? Anybody ever ate any rotten fruit? You had a bad orange or a bad apple, bad banana. And it's the worst thing in the world to have bad fruit. Amen. And you don't want to have bad spiritual fruit. You want to have good fruit. And so by speaking life-filled words, it will bring good fruit in your life. Amen? So every session that I've been ministering on the power of words, I try to hit on a particular area. So today I want to hit on a particular area today on our words. And this area is the area of blessing. And so that my subtitle of this message is the power to receive and the power to give blessings. Amen. I'm going to say it again. The power to receive and the power to give blessings. So we have the power to receive blessings from God. And you have the power to impart blessings to people. Amen. I'm going to say it again. This is powerful because a lot of times we think only God can bless. You know, we think this, we get this natural thing. Only God can bless. No, God does bless, but he uses us to bless others. So in the way that God blesses, he doesn't just send an angel to heal you. He can do that. God could send an angel to heal you, but he can send a minister to pray for you. So he can send an angel to heal you, But he can also send a minister to pray for you,
Amen.
For your healing. So he can use us to bless others. Do you believe that today? So God is in the blessing business. Amen. So blessing can come upon us by God, but you can also bless others. Let's look at this and let's dissect this morning. In Genesis 12 and 1, it says, "Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you." Notice that. "I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Notice there's a lot of blessing in there. I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And you can say, well, that's just for Abraham. That's for you too. What, Pastor? That's for you too, because the Bible says in Galatians 3:13, we have the blessings of Abraham. So if we have the blessings of Abraham, what does God want to do in your life? Well, he wants to bless you. Amen. He wants to make your name great, and he wants you to be a blessing. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God wants to make your name great? I believe he does. Amen. He wants to show you off. Especially to your unbelieving relatives. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. Because, see, God will show you off. He will cause prosperity to come into your life, and your unbelieving relatives will stay the same while you rise up to the higher level. And they will say, my God, they're serving God, and God's blessing them. I got to get Jesus in my life. I don't want to miss out on blessings. So what God will do is, maybe in your family, all you are just average, ordinary people, you know, not really above, not the 5%ers. They say 5% of the people own 95% of the wealth. 95% of the people own 5% of the wealth. And God's bringing some of us into that 5%.
Amen.
Amen. And so maybe God may want to do something so awesome because you love God, you're serving God, you're going to church, you're tithing. Maybe God might want to reveal to you secrets to make you a millionaire. Thank you for that amen over there. Amen. Somebody's agreeing with me there. And so why not you? Why can't God make you great? Why can't God raise you up? And then you'll be the Pied Piper for your family to say, my Lord, they got a jet airplane. They're serving God. And they're traveling all over the world preaching the gospel. And they're teaching people about how good God is. Wow, I want some of that. And so people get saved because they see the blessing on your life.
Amen.
Do you believe that today? Amen. And so I really believe that God wants to bless our life more than we want to be blessed. Oh, that's a statement this morning. God wants to bless your life more than you want to be blessed. Amen. So I love this. So we see here, there's some keys to Abraham's blessing. Number one, God called Abraham out of his natural family. Now, Abraham's natural family, they were idol worshipers. They worshiped idols. So God had to bring them out. Some of your family members worship idols? Some of you shaking your head. Yeah, I got some family members that worship some idols. And so you got some family members that might be worshiping idols. And so God will pull us out. So what does he do when he saves us? He pulls us out of our natural family in a sense, in a spiritual sense, and he brings us into a supernatural family,
Amen.
The kingdom of God.
Amen.
So when you get saved, you're called out of, see, you're called out of your natural family in a sense, and you're called into a supernatural family.
Amen.
So don't be saying, well, you know, I got this problem in my life because of my family. No, you have a new family now. You have a new bloodline, and you don't need to relegate your problems to the family you grew up in. Is that right? You don't need to say, you don't need to focus, well, I got a problem because I grew up and my family had this problem, high blood pressure. Now I'm going to have high blood pressure. Wait, hold up. No, you're in a new family now. You have royalty blood in your veins. You are translated out of darkness. You are translated out of problems into God's promises.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today? So God calls us out. I like what it says in John 15 and 19. This is Jesus speaking. He says, if you were of the world will love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now I'm going to say this, that when God starts prospering you, you might get some haters. But are you okay with it, with the prosperity that God puts in your life? You might get some haters. You might get some relatives that might be a little jealous of you. You might get some neighbors that might be upset because you're driving a brand new car and they're still driving their clunker. You might get, people might get upset. Why? Because the world doesn't like God's people prospering. And the world has the devil all in them. And it comes to the devil. The devil doesn't like Christians being prosperous or blessed. Is that right? And so I'm saying this, we're headed towards blessing. Amen. And so I love that. So you might have some haters, but you know what? I'm okay with my haters. I'm okay with that because I got God that loves me. So if God loves me, it doesn't matter the haters in my life, because the love of God is greater than the hate that people project on me. So if I'm rooted and grounded in God's love, the haters don't matter. I'm going to say that again. If you're rooted and grounded in God's love, your haters don't matter. In other words, you don't need to think about your haters. You just need to think about your God. Amen? King David had some haters. Amen? Saul hated King David, right? But, you know, David rose above that. So we had all people in the Old Testament, even New Testament, that had haters in their life, but God always raised them up to the highest bar. You believe that today? And so let's look at 1 Peter 2:10. It says here, you were once not a people, but you are now a people of God. You have not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. So here this is talking about that God's called us out of the world into his kingdom. And now that at one time we were not a people, God doesn't consider people that don't have Jesus in their lives his people. He only considers people that have Jesus in his life his people. So say, I'm God's person. Amen. And so we are God's people. And this tells us that the mercy of God is on our lives. When you get Jesus in your life, you have the mercy of God in your life. In other words, what some things you might be deserved to happen to you doesn't happen to you. Why? Because God's mercy is on your life. Amen. In other words, maybe you did something. Maybe you didn't stop at a traffic light. But praise God, you know, God caused you to avoid that accident. Why? Because of the mercy of God. You could have and you should have got in that accident because it was your mistake. But because of your mistake, but God's mercy overshadows your mistakes. Amen. Is that powerful? In other words, some of you might have been in some accidents or almost accidents, and you might have did something wrong, but God caused the blessing of his mercy to avoid the accident that you could have got into. And some of you got into some accidents, and by God's mercy, you know, he spared your life from that accident. I'm thinking about Michael. He was in a terrible car accident, but he had his seatbelt on. Glory to God. And he was saved. Glory to God. Why? Because God has a calling on his life. Hallelujah. And God has a calling on each one of our lives. He's watching over us. He's protecting us. He protected me before I got saved. The devil was trying to kill Pastor David before I got saved. I was a wild one. Man, I was out there. I remember my dad got mad at me one time, was yelling at me, son, you must be on drugs. You know, and I was, you know, not really, but I was out there just doing crazy. Anybody out there used to do crazy things? Yeah. Or is that just me? I know I'm looking at all saints today. Sometimes some of you come up to me and tell me stories of what you used to do. My mouth would open. Because I see you guys as saints, like, you guys used to do that? Yeah, you used to do a lot of worldly things, but you don't do worldly things anymore. Amen? Why? Because you're saints of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's what makes God so awesome, is He transforms our lives. Amen. I love that. And so I love this because God's mercy is on our life. And let's look at Genesis 12, 2 again. It says, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Amen. So we see that God is interested in blessing Abraham. But now, this is interesting. Think about this. God's not just interested in blessing Abraham. He's interested in blessing Abraham's seed. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning, because if any of you have children, you want to see your children blessed. So God's not just interested in blessing you. He's interested in blessing your children.
Amen.
That's good for some people that have children in here. Amen. So He's interested in blessing your seed. Hallelujah. So the blessing is not just for just Abraham's immediate family. His blessing transcends into nations. Do you believe that today? So God is looking to bless us, and the blessing will expand into the future generations that we produce. You believe that today? So the blessing came to Abraham and came through him, and it really came through the seed of David and through the lineage of David, came through Jesus, and Jesus became our blessing that opens up the door to the grace and the blessing of Abraham's blessing on our lives. Amen. Let's look at Peter real quick. And Peter 3, 8 and 9, this is powerful. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So I love this scripture here, because Peter is teaching us how to talk. And he's saying here, you know, that when we're talking, especially to people, we don't return evil for evil. When somebody speaks evil to us, we don't come back with them with another evil word. Amen. We don't, because we're Christians. We don't do that. Amen. In other words, we turn the other cheek.
Amen.
I know it's not easy to do that. That's probably one of the most difficult things, and it's hard on the flesh, because the flesh doesn't want to turn the other cheek. But the Bible says if the Spirit of God resides in you, you have compassion for your haters. Can you have compassion for your haters? Yes, we can have compassion for our haters. Why? Because this world is all they got. But we don't have just this world. We have heaven to gain. And so we need to have compassion on our haters. Amen. So we don't return evil for evil, but we return blessing for evil. I like what it says in Luke 6, 27, 28. It says, But I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, it's in red. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, you know what? When I read this, and when somebody does me wrong, I sure don't want to bless them. I sure don't want to bless my haters. That's something that we don't want to do as natural people. What we want to do is come against them. They're coming against me? I'm not some punk that you can punk down, right? So we put up your dukes. That's what we want to do. We want to, come on, you want some of this? You want some of this? You know, but no, the Bible says that the blessed person, the person that's in Christ, turns the other cheek and prays for those that come against them.
Amen. Yep.
Amen. So what do? We bless those who curse us. We pray for those who spitefully use us. Amen. What did Jesus do on the cross when he was on the cross and they did all manners of evil against him? What did he do? He blessed the people that were crucifying him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So what did he do? He prayed a blessing of forgiveness. Can you Did I say that God gives blessings and that we can give blessings? How do you give a blessing? You pray that God will forgive those haters in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You pray a blessing of forgiveness. What, Pastor, can you do that? Sure you can. Because they need to be released from the debt so God can work on their heart. So if you pray for them, they're released from the debt so God can work on their heart. If you hold it against them, it would be difficult for God to work on their heart because you're holding their sin in check. Am I going somewhere this morning? And so I love this. So Jesus forgave those that was crucifying him. Amen. It says here in this verse, it says in Luke 23:34, it says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. So while he was praying this forgiving prayer, they had his clothes down and they were gambling for his Armani suit. Well, it was his robe, amen. But today it would be like an Armani suit. It would be something valuable. And so while he was up there, he said, Father, man, that was my nice suit down. They're gambling over my suit. He didn't complain about it. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, most people don't know when they're going against you that they're going against God. Amen. Oh, that's a powerful statement, Pastor. That is a powerful statement. If they go against you and you're in God, they're coming against God. Amen. Oh my, that's a strong statement. Because it says in Genesis 12 that the people that curse you, God will curse. That's part of the Abrahamic blessing. In other words, if people coming against you, God will chastise them. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So your haters, you want to pray that God releases anything that they do against you. Why? So that God can move in their life with goodness, because it's the goodness of God, not the severity of God, that brings men to repentance. Amen. So what do we want? We don't want the severity of God to be in their life. We want the goodness of God to be in their life. We want God to do something good in their life. So why? So they will turn to a good God. Amen. Do you believe that today? Yes. Amen. So we don't want to be cursers, we want to be blessers. Somebody say, I'm a blesser and not a curser. Now, I made that word up. I don't think that's a word in the dictionary, cursor, but it sounds good. Amen. In other words, we are people that bless and we curse not. You need to train yourself to speak blessings over everything in your life. Amen. You know, think about this. And I heard this story talking about blessing and talking about troubles. And I heard this story about this farmer that had an old mule and he wanted to get rid of the mule. So he dug a pit in the back of his yard and he dropped the mule in the pit. And so he had a shovel. So he decided to cover that mule up with dirt and fill that hole up with dirt. But that mule started shaking the dirt off. So every time he threw dirt on the mule would shake it off and stomp his feet. And so he just kept putting that dirt on top of that mule. And eventually, where the mule was at in that pit started raising up. Till finally, when he put the last bit of dirt, the mule was able to walk out of the pit. What's the moral of the story? The devil's going to try to put dirt on some of us. But we need to learn to shake it off, stomp our feet, and allow God to raise us up to where he wants us to go. Amen. That's the moral of the story. There might be dirt coming on your life, but shake it off. Amen. Stomp your feet. Don't stand for it. And allow God's power and his grace to move you to the next level. I stole that from Joyce Meyer. Amen. And so we have to learn to shake some things off. Because we're going to encounter some problems in our lives. And we're going to encounter these things. And people are going to want to throw dirt on us. But we need to learn to shake it off. Remember what Paul did when he was shipwrecked And Paul went through all kinds of problems in his Christian walk. And remember that viper bit him on the hand? And what did Paul do? He shook that viper off into the fire. And they looked at Paul, and they waited for Paul to kill over and die. And Paul just kept living. He shook it off. And they thought because this viper bit Paul that he must have been a really evil man. The storm didn't get him, but the viper did. But when they found out that he lived through the viper bite, they said he must not be a man, he must be a god. He must have the grace of God on his life. And so instead of them looking down at Paul, they looked up to Paul. And Paul started a miracle healing ministry on that island and started healing people left and right. Why? Because they saw that even a venomous snake could not get Paul. And I'm going to say this, no venomous snake can get you. No matter what the devil is trying to unleash in your life, no venomous snake can get you or your family members. Say, I believe that. I love that. Now, going back to 1 Peter again, it says, finally, all of you be of one mind, have compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So we see here that Peter is saying that we're supposed to, that we're called to a blessing and that we're called to inherit a blessing. You're called to be a blessing and to bestow blessings, and you're called to inherit a blessing. Do you believe that today? So I love that. And sometimes the world talks like this, and I'm trying to close down this morning, but the world is always seeming to be damning things. Have you ever noticed that the world likes to damn things? And you know, they say GD. I hate that. I hate when I'm watching something and a person says GD. You know what I'm saying? They put God in front of damn. And that's vain because God's the blesser. He's not looking to damn anybody. People damn themselves when they reject God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so then they damn their stuff. This dang thing ain't working. But we put damn in there. And what are you doing? When you damn something, you're damn actually means that it makes it ineffective and unrepairable. So when you start damning your car, you're making your car ineffective and unrepairable. When you start damning the things in your life, you make it ineffective. Do you want those things to be ineffective? Do you want those things to be irreparable? No, you don't want to damn things. You want to bless things. You know, I think about my wife's car, and this is the Toyota Corolla, and it's 1998. I figured it out. It's 26 years old. I drove it to church this morning. I love this car. I kind of rub it every once in a while. I say, "You're a good car. You're a good car." It has over 200,000 miles on it. And see, God will bless the things that you own. You say, oh, God's not into the things that you own. God's, Pastor, you're kind of going a little out there. Well, did he not bless the Israelites and cause their shoes not to wear out and their clothes not to wear out? Yes. Is it not in the scriptures that say that God caused the blessing to be on the Israelites and their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't wear out? Yeah, so then God can cause your stuff to be blessed too. If that's under the Old Testament, how much more should we be blessed under the New Testament? Because it's under better covenant, under better rules, glory to God. So I'm going to say this, God wants to bless your stuff. So how does he do that? You bless your stuff. You start blessing what God has given you. You start thanking God for what he's given you, no matter how it's working in your life. And the more you bless it, the better it becomes. Amen. I'm going to say this. Husbands and wives, let me just talk to the husbands and wives here. You keep telling your spouse how good looking they are. Don't ever stop telling them how beautiful they are. I call them, every time I talk to my wife, I see my wife, I say, hey, gorgeous. Hey, beautiful. And I say that to my wife. Why? And the more I say it, the more beautiful she becomes. In my eyes. She say, oh, no. And she looks in the mirror. Oh, my Lord, I got all these issues. I don't see them. I see a beautiful woman. Glory to God. Amen. And so she becomes what I call her to be. Your spouse becomes what you call them to be. If you're calling them sloppy and ugly and all this, that's what they will become in your life. But if you're calling them good looking and what else? And smart. Kind. Even though they might be a piece of work. They will become what you call them to be. Is this helping anybody? Don't talk about their problems. They're lazy. They're good for nothings. Don't talk to your kids. Don't say to your kids, you're lazy and you're good for nothing. No, they're good for something. For you to beat up on. That's what they're good for. For you to down. That's what they're good for. No, they're good for something. There's some redeeming quality in everybody, even though it might be hard to find. There's got to be a redeeming quality in somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So you just got to look for it. You got to look for the redeeming quality in people, and you accentuate the good traits, and you don't go and talk about the negative traits. Amen. So what am I saying? I'm closing here, but I'm going to say this, that in Hebrews 7:7. It says here, without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. And I'm closing with this thought this morning, is that when we sow into something greater, God will cause us to be greater. And in Hebrews 7, it said Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a king and was in a higher position than Abraham. Even though Abraham was in a good position, Abraham tithed to this king, Melchizedek, and it said that this king blessed him, and they had communion, wine and bread, representing covenant and blessing. And so when he tithed to this king, it said that the greater blessed the lesser. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying when you come into church and you get hooked in with a pastor that preaches the truth of God's word, a God-fearing pastor that loves God and loves people, and you put yourself under the submission and authority under a pastor, God will bless your lives. And you will be blessed. And I'm telling you, you allow me as a pastor to pray for you at times when you're dealing with hard times. God will bring you out of that problem. Why? Because God has put an anointing on my life, a grace on my life, so that you can be blessed. Do you believe that today? See, I'm not just Dave. I'm Pastor Dave, which has an anointing on my life. I'm part of a five-fold ministry calling of God, and it's a sacred anointing of God that's on my life, and that anointing helps me to help you. And then that anointing transcends. See, I'm going to say this. I believe that God's bringing Pastor David into the next level in every area of my life. I'm seeing blessing in every area of my life, finances, through my relationships, through my health. Every area of my life is going up. And if it's going up in my life, it's going up in your life. If it's going up in Pastor David's life, it's going up in your life. If God's going to prosper me, and he will prosper me, and he is prospering me to that next level, he's going to prosper you. Because the anointing will roll off of me onto you. Do you believe that today? And so the same grace that God has on me, it's transferable. And that transferable grace is coming on you. And I'm telling you, I have an overcoming grace on my life. And I am overcoming every obstacle, every setback that the devil tries to throw at me. And you have an overcoming anointing on your life. It's coming on your life. And you're becoming all that God wants you to become. As you submit yourself to the authority of a local church and a pastor, God will raise you up and make you something. He specializes in making nobodies somebodies. Do you believe that today? Yeah. Did you receive it this morning? Yes. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness. I thank you for these faithful people that are submitted and committed to the local church, to the authority of the pastor. And I thank you, Father God, that you're moving and you're causing the grace that's on my life to be on their lives. I thank you, Father God, that I have the grace and the anointing of increase on my life. And it's coming on every person as they submit to the church and the pastor. And I thank you, Father God, that you're causing grace to increase abundantly in every area of their lives. Father, I thank you for every person here that's listening and watching. And perhaps you haven't made that confession of your faith, claiming Jesus as Lord. That's the way you get into the kingdom of God. So I want to ask you, if you're ready to make Jesus Lord, to pray this simple prayer and mean in your heart, and it will translate you out of the kingdom of this world system into the kingdom of God's dear Son's love of light. So say this and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.